Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello, and welcome back to another iTricks Magic Week in Review. This is Michael Lauk sitting in the driver's seat, still looking for Justin Robert Young. We'll get him back here one day, I promise. But instead, this week we went out and we got Dave Rangel. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good. Where is Jury? Is he busy now? California, huh?
Every time I talk to that guy, he's in a different place.
He doesn't show anybody any love anymore. He's big time.
I think he's a spy. I really do.
That's a good theory.
It's the only thing that makes sense. I think he opened an email and the CIA downloaded some kind of supercomputer into his brain. Boom, he travels around doing spy stuff now.
He's a real life Chuck.
He is a real life Chuck, yes. Yes. Thank you for getting that reference. So, let me start with this. Let me start with an apology. Because not too long ago, I got an email from Mr. Justin Robert Young with a link to your TEDx talk. And I was like, well, I can't say exactly what my response was because we do keep it clean on this podcast. But I was like, yeah, duh. I swear to God, I thought I posted that. Because, I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, I know this talk. This has some of my favorite things in it. It has magic. It has history. And he pulls a knife on a spectator. Boom. I knew exactly what it was. It's like, I'm sure I posted this. And I looked on the site, and I looked again, and I checked like three times, couldn't find it. I am sorry, because I thought I posted your TEDx talk way back in November when it first got put up on the TEDx YouTube page. So I'm sorry that it took me so long to get to it, because I know I saw it. I know I watched it. And it's a great talk. Everybody should catch it. And you can catch it on iTricks, by the way.
No worries, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you liked it. And I did pull a knife. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, any time when you can work that in, you know. It's like, it is probably three of my top five favorite things.
Well, you know, being a magician, we get to do so many things that normal people don't get to do. And it's always a lot of fun. So, you know, I had a chance to work it in, so I went for it.
Is that like, sit down and you're like, how can I pull a gun on my audience?
I just do that like in my own personal show. It's a piece, you know. I pull out a knife and air another bit, and it's always so funny because, you know, when I did it, everybody kind of has this moment like, hey, yeah, there's a knife on them, and I can just say, you know, you enjoying the show? Like, what are they gonna say? I'm just switchblade in my hand. That's actually Alex Rangel's last pearl handle switchblade that I've borrowed for, I don't know, going on 5 years. He'll probably hear this and send me an angry text message saying how he wants it back.
So, is that where that is? You're very natural as you swing that around. It's like, oh yeah, he's all of a sudden you're the outsiders. I don't know.
Nice. Did it for Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This isn't sharp enough when you're dissecting your frog. But right now, the Outsiders is like my older daughter's favorite movie. So I think we've seen it in the house like 5-10 times in the last few months. I don't know. It's good to know they still read it in middle school.
A cool thing, I have to give a shout out for this, you know, for that TED talk, is I do a piece that's Jamie Grant's. And I before I did it, and like when I was getting to do a TED talk, I was like, oh, you know, I think this would be a good little piece to do. I actually shot him an email and said, hey, is this cool if I do this? I don't want to do it if, you know, you think it's the wrong form or you don't want me to. And Jamie is so super nice and so super cool. He was just like, you know, sent me this email saying, hey, man, didn't even thank you for asking. That's so awesome. And he said, of course you can. And he's really great. And he gave me a wonderful comment on the YouTube post about it. And I can't say enough nice things about the guy. He's super. And he actually did a TEDx talk that I think is great. So, props to Jamie for letting me do this. Here's one of the things he created for that TEDx talk.
Yeah, how did you get involved with that? Did Is that something you follow? Is that did they come to you? And I realize it might be different in every town how this evolves since TEDx is.
Well, what's here is they have like some kind of nominations, like these people that put the TEDx together in Houston get together and say who they would like. And Maddox always seemed to be a big part of the TED Talks, or, you know, they always like to have that sort of angle themes. And someone threw my name out there, and they called me, and I went in for an interview. I went in for two, and one was just to meet everybody, and I was brought back the second time, and then they said, yeah, we'd like you to do, I think it was 11 minutes. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. It was just it was a nice opportunity, and Houston's in my city. I've lived here my whole life, so it was nice to do it in a place I actually grew up in.
Yeah, that's very cool. So they came to you. That's like I said, it seems like such an organic, interesting group, and it's always. I check, I think, every week just to see what's been posted where and everything. But before that, was it anything you were like familiar with, or was it new to you?
Oh yeah, I've watched them. You know, a lot of them actually. Yeah, I've watched when it was first kind of starting. And of course, now with Netflix and Netflix, a whole bunch of them, they post a lot of TED Talk on there. I even have the TED app on my phone. So, yeah, I was familiar with the concept, and you know, I think they're pretty neat. They're always nice, a little inspiration, a little jolt to the system. You know, I know some people might think now it's a little oversaturated because there's so many, but there's still gems out there you can find. It just are great to listen to.
Oh yeah, I mean, you pick and choose. I mean, you know, a lot of them, honestly, especially with the local things, kind of distill down to how yoga can save the world. And
yeah.
You know, and maybe yoga can save the world. I don't know, and that's cool. But it's definitely not going to be my thing, even if it is what saves the world. But if it is, it's there for you. And if it isn't, you know, there's still plenty of cool things. And they're all, you know, they're all 10, 15 minutes, so you can sit down. You know, you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna get 20 minutes in and realize, oh my god, this person's a complete loon, you know, and oh, there's an hour more to go. So I think it's a cool format, and I think it's a cool thing for magicians to be involved in.
Oh, it is, and to be part of the entertainment part, because I mean, we're basically the E in that TED, you know, entertainment. And there's this saying that says, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. But I can say that day I definitely was in the right room. You know, at Rice University, there's so many talented, smart, brilliant people there. I was just, you know, glad to be a part of it.
Well, that's very cool. Now, how much of a response have you got from people seeing it on the net? I mean, do you hear back at all? Do you get any kind of feedback?
The coolest one I got was from a guy in Australia who saw it and, you know, said, shot me, you know, through Facebook and, you know, said some nice things. And it was cool to see how far it can go. You know, now, of course, everything's online, but that was a nice, pleasant surprise. Like, that kind of made my day.
And this seems like a good segue time to kind of throw out there. If people want to find you on the net, I know you've got Twitter feed, you've got Facebook, all that. How about throwing down your digital pertinence, as they were?
All right, so Twitter's easy. It's probably the most fun I have. B David Rangel. That's my Twitter handle, at B David Rangel. That's T-H-E in my name. My website's the same, B David Rangel. And Facebook, I think you can just search B David Rangel and I'll come up. I try to keep it all the same so I don't forget, to be honest. And I think that's it. I think that's all of them, Twitter, Facebook.
My Gmail
is Steve David Rangel. So there you go.
Are you still doing 816 podcast here and there?
We are. We do the 816. We have to take these hiatuses sometimes because Alex, my you know, co-creator of the 816 podcast, I kind of made him do it, and he said yes because he was nice enough to do that. And he goes on so many he goes out of town on work so often, whether it's England, Brazil, L.A., he's a very busy man, and so sometimes, and I, once in a while I'll do it with David Rowan, and, you know, we'll have, like, a podcast with Alex, but most of the time I just kind of hold back. We're not on, we do it not for any other reason is that we just love magic and talking about magic and hanging out. So there's no like sponsors. We're not funded by anybody. We don't do it to make money off it. We just do it because we like to do it. So we should do them off. In fact, we kind of keep saying to each other, we need to do what we're doing. Hopefully, we'll have a sort of mini relaunch at MagicCon this year. I think maybe possibly in the works, me and Alex will do something that weekend in San Diego. Because the Buck Twins, if you can go to that convention, man, Glenn's great, Gary Plant, who's a local here from the Houston area, is going to be out there, which is just great. And so many guys, Michael, I think Webb will be out there again. So the lineup's always phenomenal. The people are always great. It's always just a lot of fun.
Which, I mean, is what a good convention is all about, really, hopefully.
Yeah, hang out with your friends so you don't get to see because everybody's busy. That's
right. What will now be last week on the show, you know, we talked about the big FISM SAM IBM convention that's coming up in St. Louis. To me, one of the important things about that convention is that in St. Louis, the bars close at 3.
That is important. That's great.
It's very important.
You're fine here. You get that extra hour. That's awesome.
You know, and if you go across the river to Illinois, the bars don't close at all.
Wow.
And they're mainly strip bars, but, you know.
I guess if you have to go to one.
I know. It's like sometimes I didn't have a choice.
Don't twist my arm.
Well, I don't know why I'm covered in glitter. A true story, one of the few magic conventions that I have attended in the past. Get there. It's starting. It's the first night pre whatever, you know, and you're going through the hallway and I got some interviews set up for a project I was doing back then. And, you know, it's like, oh, hey, there's Oscar Munoz. You know, I got to talk to him later. Hey, how's it doing? Good to finally meet you. This kind of, and I ran into some guys that I expected to see and a fire alarm went off. Right. So they're like, clear the hotel. Fire alarm is going off. And everybody in the convention just goes across to the bar across the lobby. And the bar's like, no, you can't come in here. It's a fire alarm. And everybody's like, well, let us have a drink. Yeah. And that ended up happening 3 times. And every time they were just like, everybody went to the bar. Like, that's safe. Like, obviously, surrounded by alcohol, the fire will not spread here. But
couldn't be any safer.
But that's, you know, that's how a good magic convention should be as far as I'm concerned. So, I don't know. I guess maybe not if you're in the SYM. That's probably a bad call if you're in the youth program. But other than that. So, other than the podcast coming back up, do you have anything else on the horizon you can hint to us?
Oh, sure. Another project that I'm doing with Mr. David Rowan. We're going to have a web series because there's not enough of those for magicians. It seems like everybody has one, but we're doing one for fun.
Don't knock cyber magic.
No way. And this is going to be a little bit different, but a lot of fun. And again, this is something we're doing because it's really like a fun idea. And why not? And the hardest thing for that is just getting David Rowan to stay in a particular city because he likes to travel like Kane in Kung Fu. He walks the earth. You know, that's my Pulp Fiction reference, but it's true. He walks the earth. And here when I have not, I was like, let's just do this. Let's just, you know, film this. It'll take not long, of course. You know, it's never that easy, but we do it anyway. So that's going to go up on a Kickstarter just to get a little bit of funding to do some things we want to do and just to see. And hopefully, you know, that'll go through. And if not, you know, if we have a terrible Kickstarter, it doesn't work out, then we'll probably just do one or two. But we definitely have, like, you know, three or four definitely lined up. And I already started shooting film, so.
You gotta go. Like, now, Kickstarter was once this great idea, I feel, like, for artists and for certain projects. But now I feel like there's a lot of pressure because so many people seem to go on Kickstarter and, like, It's, you know, it's like 36 hours later, they're double funded and they're got stretch goals and everything. And, you know, and like Penn's making a feature film out of his.
Yeah, I know. And like
you don't want to be the guy. Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You're taking everybody. Of course, you're going to give money to Penn. I gave money to that Kickstarter. Why not? You know, I want to see that. But, well, you know, it's one of those things, like, if we get it, great. If not, then we'll just do it anyway because we want to have fun. And luckily, you know, I work enough where I can have little fun side projects and things. And it's just because, you know, I'm one of those guys, I just can't stay still. You know, I always got to be doing something. I get up at 5 in the morning and I just keep going. You know, so I'm lucky if I get 3 or 4 hours. But I just like staying busy. You know, just feel like I never have enough time to do what I want to do.
I get that. I get that. Except I'm more like heading to bed at 5 in the morning. Sometimes later, you know. I have no use for the sun. But other than that, I understand. You know, you have to have a lot of things, you know, because you only go around once, right? You gotta get everything in while you can.
Absolutely. A lot of young guys will always ask me, like, oh, what does it take to be professional magician, or what does it take to perform, or how do you get this restaurant, or how do you come to this hotel? And it's like, man, it's way more work than you think. You know, it is really, you just got to get up and you just got to get at it every day. I mean, it changes. There's so many guys who want a reputation for stuff they haven't done, you know, and they just really just got to get out there and do it and get told no, and it's not going to work out, and you just move on. And you just find, you know, I've been lucky enough to find a niche. And I don't have to travel too much, but when I do, it's okay because getting paid and I get to perform. So I can't argue with that. I can't, you know, I can't really complain.
Right. And it does. I mean, it takes a huge amount of work. Everybody forgets that first you can't do something, then you are terrible at it, then you're okay. And, you know, and then you get good. And all of those stages, man, that's a lot. And what people don't expect, I find, is that doesn't just mean your technical skills. That doesn't just mean your double lifts and your Faro shuffles. That means performing. That means like knowing what's up when you hit that restaurant, when you hit that stage. You know,
a lot of business in, man. You got to network. You got to have your website look good. You got to have something decent. And if you can't do it yourself, you know, if you're like, man, I cannot do a website, or I cannot design this, or I cannot have, you know, a good photos, outsource it. There's Fiverr. There's no excuse why you should have a bad website. There's no excuse why you should have bad photos. And for God's sake, if you have a magic photo right now and you're fanning cards, slap yourself with that photo and retake it again. just don't do it.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I love people who preach that, not only because I have a video production company that specializes in promo videos for people, but I mean,
I've seen some bad ones, man. I've seen some guys hold like 2 rubber bands and like stretch them. Like, what are you doing? I just don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
My favorite is the floating ball. That's always about
It's not only it's just the content, it's you know, my other thing is, just because your phone can take a video doesn't mean that it should. You know, just because you've got a webcam doesn't mean you can produce
things. Maybe that YouTube upload is not a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. YouTube instant upload might be honestly the worst thing to hit magic since drunken uncles at wedding receptions. It's not the exposure. I'm not like one of those guys, but there's just so many bad magicians, and it's so hard for magic to recover from that, because like there's even more bad guitar players on YouTube. And terrible singers. But then you get in your car and you turn on the radio and you're like, oh yeah, this is what, you know, a really great singer sounds like. And magic doesn't have that recovery, that automatic reset that some of the other genres hit by YouTube seem to have. and it makes me cry as I sift through YouTube and see all the terrible magic.
Yeah, it's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You know, like when you took tapes and make copies of tapes, and it's just sound. It feels like YouTube's like to me. They're kind of, most of the time, they're copying someone else's performance or movement or, you know, verbatim, word for word, not asking permission and doing the wrong thing. And it just gets, you know, diluted and saturated with just like unrecognizable. And that's what people will remember, though, the car crash, you know. That's what they'll, and, you know, we do it to ourselves. You know, when you think of birthday parties, people think magician.
Yeah. Not that YouTube has to be a terrible thing. I mean, you know, it's done wonders for a lot of guys.
I mean,
Collins Key, you know, he's got a huge following on, you know, that he manages and keeps with YouTube now, and more power to him. You know, that newer generation is going to have to tap into it, but you know, until you're ready, please don't. You know, jump up in a pair of basketball shorts and a dirty t-shirt and start busting out whatever you just got in the mail. Please don't do that.
That's my phone. Get a text, I think.
That's right. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break then and let you respond to your text messages. We'll be back in just a second. Michael here to remind you that March is National Reading Month, so pick up a magic book. You know, it can be an actual, real, honest-to-gosh paper magic book, or one of those fancy ebooks that all the kids are reading now. And speaking of kids, what better way to ensure that the next generation picks up and gets interested in the world of magic than by donating a good magic book to your local school, library, community center, or even your Magic Club's youth organization. There are a million tricks, literally, great tricks that can be found in the old magic books that are not on DVD yet. Do yourself a favor. It's reading month. Pick up a magic book.
iTricks.com.
We are back here, Magic Week in Review, with Dave Rangel, and we've been talking about all kinds of stuff, TEDx, the internet, a little bit of pop culture, and now I want to go in a different direction, and I want to talk about I want to talk about where you came from. I want to talk about how you got into magic, and you know a lot of great guys and kind of how you've met some of these people.
I guess I'm no different than everybody else. I got a magic kit and I just got addicted. And which is very tough. I think it's even tougher for kids to use now. That's why I think why they go to YouTube so much. I mean, I remember reading those books, and it was like reading a manual for a toaster. You know, they weren't written by writers. You know, they were written by magicians. So they always were so tough and dense to get through. Like, if you wanted to learn something, you really had to, kind of, at least for me, you know, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I was like, I just don't get this. You know, I have to read it like 15 times. Like, okay. Okay, I understand. And like my early books were like the Dover books, or like very, like no pictures, no nothing. Like if you wanted to learn it, you had to like really dissect it piece by piece. So I could understand why something would get turned off. I remember like dog hearing, like, well, that fixed it. That wasn't stupid. Whatever. And I was just kind of did it off, you know, off and on as you do as a kid, as other things. And when I got into college, I got a job as a waiter. And I was terrible. I was possibly one of the world's worst waiters. I was just got off at it. And I did magic at the restaurant, and the manager, bless his heart, said, you know what? Why don't you not be a waiter? Just crush that idea. And you could come in and do magic for my Sunday brunch. And I was like, okay. And I actually made more money doing that than being a waiter, possibly because I was a terrible waiter. We get lousy tips. I just wasn't good at it. You know, those guys that can do it well are just awesome, and they have a tough job. I just was terrible, god awful. And then when things started getting serious, I guess probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I guess, seems like those keep adding up. I got a phone call from my cousin, and he says, "Hey, I know this magician. He goes to school with me. His name is Daniel. You want to talk to him?" So I ended up talking to Daniel Garcia, and this is where it gets weird. So Daniel Garcia and I have this weird kind of connection. His father was married to my mother, and they got divorced, and then they had kids, like you do. My mom had me, his dad had him. We both became magicians separately and met each other in our 20s. And we're like, hey, yeah, our parents used to be married to each other.
Okay, so, like, is that like, weird? Like, can you not bring him around the house?
Oh, no, it's totally fine, you know. It's totally, like, you know, water under the bridge by that point. We're already adults, and everybody was just finally, yeah, his dad's awesome. His family's awesome. And, you know, he's such a great guy. And then when that happened, now a lot of people think me and Alex Ringo are brothers. We get it all the time. I'm Dave Ringo, it's Alex Ringo. And unfortunately, it's not the case. I love his family. I love his parents, their mom and dad, everything is special. But I love that man. He was awesome. I kept hearing, people kept asking about my brother as a performer. Like, hey, how's your brother doing? And I had no idea what they were talking about. And I was like, I don't have a brother. Yeah, you do. They thought I was, you know, just being funny. And you get the same thing. So finally we met, and then we started hanging out. We became inseparable. Like, me and Alex was like meeting someone I just knew forever. There was no lapse in our friendship. Like, as soon as we met, we were best friends. And we just never, there hasn't been a day, I think, in 15 years where I haven't talked to the guy. In one form of fashion. You know, that's how close I am with Mr. Alex Ringel. And now we can't shake it. We'll tell people to this day, like, we're not brothers. Like, yeah, whatever. So now we just stopped fighting it. So now when people ask me how my brother's doing, I'm like, he's doing good. It's just the way it works. But, and those guys have been lucky to work on plenty of specials out there. You know, Blaine, Dynamo, Andrew Main. Those guys are uber talented. And you know, get to work with guys like Blake Boyd or Rico Del Vega. So, you know, I get to see a lot of insight to that creative side of magic. So I've been pretty lucky. And we get to all stay very busy and work. I really can't complain. So a lot of hard work from those guys. Those guys are always working really, really hard. With Alex, we started the 816 podcast, just for fun, and we got a kind of little cult following, which was weird because it wasn't like a huge following, but like a lot of magicians knew were listening. So it was great, and we got to do so many adventures, and I look forward to a lot more this year with those guys. And I just got back from L.A. visiting them, and they're working out there. And now, it was funny. Like, back then, we traveled to the Magic Castle, me, Alex, and Daniel, in a car while Alex slept on the cooler, which we couldn't get any food. And that trip in itself is amazing because we ended up driving and just crazy things happened. I don't know if I can get into it legally, but getting there, I mean, we stretched every dollar that we had to make this trip happen and get out to the famous Magic Castle. And we ended up, you know, performing in the cellar when we got there, and it was just great. And now I can see all of us working and having our own successes. It's just great. I remember when we were like, we barely have enough for gas and our car blew. Like, our car blew out in L.A. in the middle of the desert. So we definitely had fun. We were like, oh, man, we're not going to make it. But Daniel was selling his first, I guess, VHS. Wasn't even a DVD. It was a VHS that he shot at my house. And we had stacks and stacks and stacks of VCRs copying this tape over and over and over. And we, like, he sold that. And he basically helped fund getting us out there. And so it was a lot of fun, man. So to see those guys now work is awesome. Yeah.
So that's like your band tour bus story. Like,
yeah, it is.
Every band has that first tour. Now, how important is it? A lot of our listeners, you know, a lot of our people who read iChicks are just fans of magic. And a lot of, you know, but we get a lot of magicians who read too. And we do, I do try to kind of stay away from the nuts and bolts a lot of time. So I don't want to seriously get into that. But I do want to talk about your career and how you've developed in that. How important is it for you to have had this network? I mean, could you be where you are today? Do you think any of you guys that have ended up, you know, in quite the same places if you didn't have each other to kind of lean off on and bounce things off of and all that?
Well, we're very close, I would say, but we're also very strict with each other. You know, like, we're very good critics with each other. If something doesn't look right, we'll say it. And, you know, they're one of the two guys I can be honest with. I can show them something and go, lame, or no, it's been done. And, they're big supporters of mine when I do, you know, when they can, and they'll come see me perform. I know they'll be there. And so, yeah, it definitely helps. It definitely helps, you know, that they're around. And then, you know, but you got to, like, even now, you got to build those friendships and just push each other. You know, I think great friends push each other to do more, to be the best they could be. And fortunately, I'm real lucky. Just to give a shout out to another guy that was really influential, you know, Brian Brushwood. I got to meet him when he was just getting, you know, good time. Now I'm Mr. Host of his own National Geographic show, which is awesome. And C.J. Johnson, not Nelson, who was, I would say, a mentor of mine and his work ethic. And seeing the hours that those guys put in. If you really want it to be a business, if you really say, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do with my life, to see the hours those guys put in to be successful, it was very eye-opening. I was lucky to be surrounded by those kind of people in my life, because it is hard work. It's not just learning something and expecting it to happen. Networking, luck plays a part in it, but luck only happens if you're ready for the opportunity. You know, if you're ready and then you get lucky, you know, it'll happen. But if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, you know, no amount of luck is going to help.
That is very true. It just, if you don't have a number, if you don't know, this is an off guard kind of putting question, I understand. In any given day, or the average day, how much time do you consider spent on work, whether it be creating, practicing, actually performing, but also then networking, making phone calls, doing, you know, making sure you have enough business cards, all that kind of stuff? How many hours a day would you say you work?
Oh, my goodness. It doesn't stop. it's probably more than a regular 40-hour a week job. It really doesn't stop. I used to be like a guy who wrote everything down, and I'm like a date planner. Like, I was one of those guys that had a little book and I wrote everything I was supposed to do, and I just went to like a app that was for me, which is like amazing. You know, like, you just type in and I have someone to read off the schedule. But like, no, it doesn't really stop, and it's just like different things. But now I've got like a kind of space it out, like, and it's also a problem in magic. So sometimes we wear too many hats, you know, sometimes we try to take on too much, and you know, we try to do too many things. But oh man, you can easily pull an 80-hour work week if you really want to make ends meet out of it. And but again, I mean, I say that, but it's so easy doing something you like doing. You know, I get up in the morning and I'm lucky I can call, I can say, hey, what are we working on? I look at my calendar, see what I have lined up, or see what shows are coming. And then with the actual act itself, it varies. I just recently, I guess, I started working on something for a couple of days to add. And you go to school. Now I have time. Well, I wish I could focus more on doing more things. Because a lot of it is the networking and, you know, the business cards, like you said, or figuring out where the next year is going to come. You know, I recently got an agent that helped, you know, with getting the gig part so you can focus on other things. But, man, I don't think it ever stops. Like once it's like a performer, I guess it ever stops it either. If you're any type of entertainment field, whether you're a singer or a juggler or, you know, a clown, I don't think it ever really stops. You really kind of eat, sleep, drink it, and then you wake up and you just repeat the process.
So is it safe to say that you're never going to retire?
Oh man, you know what? I don't want to. I like what I'm doing now. I mean, you know, I guess eventually, you know, I asked Richard Hatch that question because, you know, he had H&R Magic Books here for many years before he moved out to Utah. He smiled at me and he goes, "Oh, David, I retired a long time ago." So maybe I already am. I don't even know. But you know, doing something you love, it's hard to think of it as work. Even though sometimes you have those days where it definitely feels like work. But, you know, you just got to be calm. You know, I try to be optimistic as much as possible. It's going to be okay. Even if it's not okay now, it'll be all right. So I just kind of, you know, plunge forward. So I don't know. I'm too young to think about retirement, but I can't imagine not wanting to do it.
Financial planners would tell you otherwise.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm big on that, man, because I think you got to have those things kind of lined up. You know, especially if you're in the entertainment business, you got to have your financial plans and your financial. You got to be putting something away. I'm really big on that. You can't start early enough. I'll say that. And luckily, my dad kind of drilled that into my head as a kid, so I'm always trying to put something away. You can ask Alex how cheap I am, and he will laugh.
I've used up a lot of your time today, and I really appreciate it. I'm sure the iTrix listeners really appreciate it, but I got one other question I want to ask you. Because I can tell you are loving what you're doing, which is great. I mean, how much of magic for you is about being in front of the audience, and how much of it is just a love of magic or a love of being your own boss?
Well, the being your own boss is nice, you know, because I've for years I've done other things that where I wasn't my own boss. But, you know, for me, it's definitely not an ego thing. You know, I've met some magicians, few, where it's an ego thing to get on that stage. There's definitely some kind of bug, some kind of addiction you get when you hear that applause, and you just chase it over and over and over again. And that's what the best thing about magic is. You know, it's really a temporary art if it's going to get there. You know, sometimes we're not doing art, and that's okay. And then sometimes you get that moment where it is, and it doesn't last. You know, with a song, you can hear it over and over and over the same way. It's in the studio, it's recorded, you can remember that moment. With magic, you got to work to recreate, to get close to recreating that moment again and again and again. Each time it's a little bit different, and then it goes away. So that's what I love about it. That's my addiction to it, because I know, you know, there's times, and I'm sure with any performer, anyone who's done magic, somebody's had this magical moment where everything aligned and you were a demigod to them. You know, you were magic. And then you go out and post it again. You go, "You know what? I'm going to get that feeling again." And it's never going to be satisfied, and you're never going to reach it, but you go for it.
Well, I think those are kind of profound words to end this on. So I would like to end it there. Plus, you're the first person to use the word demigod, I think, in the history of the podcast. So makes one wonder if there's Dungeons and Dragons books in your basement. But that aside,
there might be.
Hey, you know, well, that's a different subject for a different time. But
I'll wear it proud.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. Why don't one more time throw out your website for us?
TheDavidRingo.com. At Twitter, it's at TheDavidRingo. There's also an 816 podcast Twitter you can find. That's at 816 podcast. And you can find me and Alex. You never know. The best thing about that one is you never know who's going to answer you back, me or Alex, because we both have it on our phones. So when we see something, it's always like who's first to strike. So if you do listen to the podcast, we did give away a lot of things, you know, decks or whatever trick you get, or just give it away because Alex is really big on giving back and really likes to do that kind of thing. So I thank you for having me and whatever kid out there that listened and got something profound and great. I feel good.
All right. Thank you once again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next week when we do our next podcast, stay tuned to itricks.com for all the latest in the world of magic. Once again, I'm Michael Lauk with Dave Rangel. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.